Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We're talking to Kevin Geary, who is the originator of a great website, rebootedbody.com. He's got podcasts there. He's got online programs, blogs, lots of great resources for optimizing your health. And Kevin, we were talking about the importance of various components in undertaking a reboot. And one of the big components, and you place a lot of emphasis on this, and sometimes it's given short shrift in medicine and in health advice, and that's sleep. So talk to us about the primacy of sleep in getting towards a better place.
Yeah, so, and I just actually wrote a guide on this topic, and I'm formulating with my co-author, Evan Brand. We're going to be doing an online course as well. There's really two camps to sleep. There's the camp, Camp A, where people understand the importance of sleep and they just can't get good sleep for whatever reason. They could be making mistakes in other parts of their lifestyle that prevent them from getting sleep, or they could have underlying issues blocking them, so on and so forth. Then there's Camp B, where Camp B is the what I call the productivity camp, right? They don't want to sleep because they feel like they're missing out on something, or they have more work to do, or they have more entertainment to watch. They just don't really put an emphasis on getting sleep, and maybe it's because they don't know what sleep actually does to your body, or maybe they just don't care. I don't know.
They equate it with like wasted time, that sleep
right.
is unproductive, that you know, life is short and you want to squeeze as much out of it as you can, and sleep is just a dormant state in which nothing happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of, you know, address both of these camps in the book. So for the people with just sleep problems, we talk all about how to fix those. For the people who just want to stay productive and don't really care to get sleep, I try to talk them into basically respecting sleep more by showing them exactly what it does to their body. I mean, we're talking about depressed metabolic function. And I know when people think about how sleep is a waste of time, like you said, you know, if I tell them all of the problems with sleep, unless I hit on stuff they really care about, fat loss being one of them. So if somebody's overweight and you show them how getting less than 6 hours of sleep basically makes them function like a type 2 diabetic, and that's why they're overweight and can't lose weight, well, there you go. Now they're kind of listening, right? They're like, oh, wait, what did you say? You know, I'm getting bad sleep and that's why I'm overweight? Absolutely, that's why you're overweight. So we're talking about depressed metabolic function, disordered eating. A lot of people don't understand where their cravings come from. They have intense cravings that they can't get rid of. And I ask them about their sleep. Oh, I'm only getting about 6 hours of sleep per night, quality sleep. Well, that's where your cravings are coming from. Decreased mental processing. Both short-term and long-term memory are affected.
So that would be the incentive for the busy executive or the student who believes I should be getting by on less sleep to increase their sleep, because less is more when it comes to your daily activities that involve mental stress and strain. You might actually be more productive if you devote less time to those activities and more time to sleep.
Yeah, absolutely you would be. I talk to when it's an athlete that I'm dealing with, I talk to them about the decline in sex drive and inhibited muscle growth and repair due to a big drop in testosterone levels. I mean, any athlete knows how important testosterone levels are, so they want to protect that type of thing. So I hit on that when I'm talking to them. When I'm talking to someone who is struggling with mental health, I show them the effect of negative sleep on mental health. And we already know, I mean, 1 in 5 Americans is on prescription drugs for anxiety or depression, so that covers a lot of people right there. So we went through in the very second chapter of the book and talked all about these, you know, really bad effects that poor sleep has on the body.
So, what are some of the, do you suggest that people alter their behaviors, or do you suggest certain types of natural sleep aids? Are you for those, or do you think those are just like the natural equivalents of the sleeping pills that people become too dependent on?
Well, I don't talk about sleep aids. We don't recommend sleep aids, even natural, you know, quote unquote sleep aids like melatonin. We suggest people stay away from because, I mean, melatonin is a hormone and we don't recommend that people mess with their hormone levels at all. We do a bunch of lifestyle tweaks. We actually follow a fictional guy named Dave through his day. And this is just a typical American based on people that we interviewed. And we go over all of the mistakes from the time Dave wakes up to the time Dave goes to sleep that are causing big issues with him being able to fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and so on and so forth. And then we do get into strategic supplementation, but this is basically to counteract stuff that people are missing in the first place. So it's not stuff that they're taking necessarily for sleep. It's really to cover up anything that might be a deficiency.
Okay. So that's a big issue. Now, okay, so when it comes to exercise, share with us what do you do? Because you know what you were doing before wasn't working for you. You were gaining weight. You were probably getting burnout and injuries. So how did you alter your own personal approach to exercise? And what are some of your suggestions?
Yeah, so I was actually doing anything that I could do to just burn calories. I mean, from running, I was trying swimming at one point. I was playing sports. And the key is that if you don't have the food dialed in, then it doesn't really matter what you're going to do for exercise. It's just you can't out-exercise a poor diet. And
so you were sort of doing the exercise almost to expiate your sins for eating junk food. I mean, it was the idea is if I exercise enough, it's a lot of young people are like that. They say, well, I can eat McDonald's, I can eat Burger King, as long as I burn off the calories. It's drink Coca-Cola, whatever.
At some points, yes. But at some points when I was dieting, I was trying to exercise and it wasn't working simply because the diet I was following was still completely disordering my hormones. And when that's happening, I mean, the exercise doesn't really matter. And in fact, if you are doing the wrong type of exercise, you can make that hormone dysfunction even worse. So you're just going to kind of be running in place, or you're going to make progress like I did a lot of times, and then you're going to rebound and get worse results than you had before you started.
So currently, what is your formula? Because, to look at your picture, and we can access your picture at rebootedbody.com, you look like you're in radiant health. You look like you're at optimal weight. You look muscular, but you don't look muscle-bound, one of these steroid-inflated, muscle men on the cover of Muscle magazine. But so how did you achieve that balance with exercise?
Yeah, so once I got my diet dialed in, I did a whole bunch of walking, which I'm a big fan of, brisk walking every day. People need to get outside and do at least 30 minutes of brisk walking. That would be the base thing to do. And they would be highly surprised at how far you can get just with nutrition and brisk walking. Now, I kind of said to myself, because I don't like to work out. I'm not a gym person. I have to kind of force myself to stay in a routine of exercise. So I look for the most effective and efficient forms of exercise possible. I never do a workout longer than 20 minutes. Never, well, ever, ever.
That's really interesting. Because, I mean, some people think, the longer the better. I mean, you get those, weekend warriors with the four-hour bike ride, the riding centuries and so on,
Yeah, that is absolutely not me. So everything that I do it has to be functional movement based. So it has to help me in some area of life performance. And it generally happens outdoors. So I basically do a brisk walking. And once a week or so, I will do a sprint session where I just sprint about 50 to 60 yards, and then I'll rest, and I'll do that about 10 times, and that'll be the end of that workout.
That actually sounds like what's called HIIT, high-intensity interval training. Is that something that you're consciously practicing?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk to us about the underlying concept there? Because that, for some people that I've seen do that, it's an extremely efficient and time-sparing way of getting a maximal workout.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, it gets kind of a negative rep from the calorie crowd because it doesn't actually burn a lot of calories while you're doing it. But it's basically periods of intense activity followed by periods of low activity or rest, and you just cycle through that. And it actually burns a lot of calories after you're done. It ramps up metabolism. It has a lot of benefits, and it's not inflammatory because it's not something like running where you're doing a steady state cardiovascular exercise, pounding the pavement over and over and over again for a long period of time. So I believe it's a healthier way to exercise. So I do the brisk walking, I do the sprinting, and then, you know, two times a week about I will do resistance training, and it's all based on about six different movements that I love to do with a sandbag. And these are functional movements, and I found that the weight really matters. So a lot of people don't really understand how to gauge the weight that they should be lifting. I always aim to get about 5 or 6 reps before I'm tired. So a pretty heavy weight, and that's where you're going to get the most benefit. Now, you have to understand how to do this and make sure that you're doing it safely. But there's a lot of people you'll see at the gym with their little dumbbells, and they're doing curls, and they're doing like 30 of them in a row. I mean, that's a waste of time.
That's interesting. That sounds a little bit like kettlebells, because you're doing probably a swinging or lifting motion, but it's more of a flexible device because the weight shifts with the sandbags, I guess, right?
Yes, and the locations of the handles, the bag is specifically designed so you can grab it from the top or the sides, or a variation of those. So you can do a lot more Olympic-style lift without any equipment, really. So once you have the sandbag, I mean, you can do pretty much everything you could do with a barbell in the gym. In your backyard, and you can't vary the weight like you can in a gym, because once you fill the bag with sand, that's how much it weighs.
Right, but it is a flexible program where you can, once you achieve a certain milestone of strength, you can modify your sandbag to be heavier, right?
Yeah, or you can just have two sandbags. So you have one that's a little bit lighter, mm-hmm. where you can do, you know, some different types of exercises require less weight just because the way your muscles work, they can't lift weight in that position that they can lift in other positions. So it helps to have two different bags if people want to do that.
Okay. Or alternatively, you can become a stevedore and lift packages in a warehouse. I mean, that's another way to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last component is just being really active and playing a lot. I mean, just going outside with family, having a lot of fun. I was actually, and I'm about to start incorporating this more seriously and start to do some videos and some blog posts on it. But at PaleoFX, I met a gentleman from London who does what's called primal play. And he has a lot of different exercises that you do with other people that are just designed to get you a good workout. But, I mean, you are laughing the whole time you're doing it, and you're playing with people. And it is like the best way to plummet cortisol levels that I know of. And it is so primal. I mean, that's just the nature of human beings, is that we need to connect. A lot of stuff that doesn't get talked about is the mental side, the emotional side, our fulfillment in life, our connection to other people, our relationships. I mean, when we talk about a holistic approach, we really need to include all of that stuff. Every aspect of a person's life impacts their health.
Well, absolutely. You emphasize very much the psychology of wellness through, you know, certainly a variety of pep talks, but also ways that people can reboot their minds, their brains, their psychological outlook. Can you give us some outlines on that?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, 90% of people are, if you just give them the information and say good luck, they're probably going to fail at some point. They'll be pretty successful. If you give them the right information, they'll be pretty successful for a while. Or, you know, it just really depends on their history. Let's say you take somebody who has a severe sugar addiction, right? Or they have this pattern, I call it pattern paralysis, where they're in a pattern of eating dessert after every meal or eating bad food when they're in front of the television, for instance. So you give somebody like that the right information and you say, all right, you know, here's some foods to test out. These will probably work really well for you. Here's some exercise to do, right? They're going to fail because there is that roadblock sitting in front of them, that pattern that they are trapped in or that sugar addiction that they are facing. They're not going to be able to get past that with just the information. So I do a lot of work with coaching. I do a lot of work with mindset training. I do a lot of work with journaling. I do a lot of work with the psychology side to get people healed in their mind so that they can actually follow through with the other information and create a lifestyle out of this stuff.
Good stuff. So what's the call to action here? People go to your website, rebootedbody.com. What will they find there, and what kind of programs can they participate in?
Yeah, they're going to find a blog, first of all. So, you know, 98% of the stuff that I do is absolutely free. There's a ton of blog articles. There's a ton of free podcasts. I just started Rebooted Body TV, so there's a lot of free videos as well. And then if they are really looking, if they are really serious, you know, I tell people I don't sell information. I give all the information away. What I sell is a trench where people jump in and get dirty and actually get work done. And they do that with a coach who really cares about their success and who understands exactly how to help them. And they do that with a community of other people who are on the same journey as them. So they get to interact with I have clients in over 17 different countries, so they get to interact with all of the other people in the program through a support forum. And we do live monthly coaching calls twice a month. So it is really a program where they are fully supported, and that is at myrebootedbody.com. Or if they just go to the main website, they'll find their way there. But that's what I sell. I sell results through a program like that. So if they want all the information for free, then go to my website. If they want to get dirty and get some work done, then I also have an online program for that.
So it's kind of like one is the theory and the other is the practice, the implementation, the follow through, the supervision, and the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like we talked about in the beginning, I can't give people information that's going to apply to them because there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of people, you know, out there who I could possibly come into contact with. So the program is the individualization component. The program is where I work with people one-on-one to mold and shape this information to them specifically.
And this is for – give us an idea of the ideal candidate for this. Is this any specific age group or people who are generally healthy, or can be people with moderate to severe illness, or does it just vary all across the board?
You know, it is a real food-based functional exercise program that therefore it fits everybody. Now, my target client is somebody who is overweight. They are struggling. They are coming from a model of conventional wisdom and conventional dieting, just like I was. They're fed up. They're frustrated. They want to learn an intuitive approach. They're tired of obsessing over food. They're tired of feeling out of control. Those are the people that come to me. And I have everybody from age 20 to age 74, I think, is the oldest person in the program right now. And then there's people that are perfectly healthy. There's people that have health complications, and we work around those. There's people in the program that don't even want to lose weight, that are already at a healthy weight, but they know they're not healthy on the inside. They know their mind is not healthy, and they know there's some improvements they can make. So, I mean, we have a whole range of people.
Well, I must commend you on your focus, your energy, your organization, and your delivery system, because it's really well thought out, and your commitment is outstanding. So I recommend it very highly. Rebootedbody.com, and congratulations on your success, and I hope that you continue influencing so many people out there who are in need of your expert advice.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for this opportunity to speak to your audience and kind of share my thoughts with them.
Well, I absolutely want to get the word out about rebootedbody.com. Thanks very much, Kevin Geary, and all the best.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us.